to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Tellius Tyler.
I'm really proud of you, Todd, because this was the first episode in like a month that you did your normal intro without having to do a double take.
I refuse to admit that happened, because yeah. I'm the host and clearly do everything the first take every time. Clearly. And joining us today, yes, we actually have a guest host, finally, is the return of our dear friend and the head of the Outer Haven, King Koopa Keith.
But am I really a host or a guest? I mean, am I really?
Yes.
I'm always here. I just don't say anything.
Sure you are.
Always here. I'm everywhere.
That comforting presence that you hear every time you boot up an episode of NEP.
There you go.
That's King Koopa Keith.
When you I was thinking more like the Invisible Man reboot where it's like a horror film. I'm always here.
Speaking of Invisible Man, I actually want to see that movie when it comes out.
I'm sure you do.
I sure do.
All right. Well, we actually have a fun episode for you today.
It's a big surprise.
I know. It's just like not that all
we actually have a fun episode for you.
Yeah. Clearly, when we go to two co-hosts, it just doesn't work. We need a third co-host to make it fun again.
Yeah. Can I jump in here real quick and say yes? Three men podcasts are the best.
They can be, yeah. I mean, yeah. Unless it's like a direct debate, which we have done here on the podcast a few times.
But you need somebody to keep the peace?
You do. You really do. Although none of us keep the peace.
Well, Will just stays silent and he tries to think that that's peace until we rag on him, and then it's just like, nanny? So.
Will, hope he stays careful out there.
Yeah, he will be back hopefully next week, though, so we will keep you posted on that. But anyway, we got a fun show for you today, including a very fun debate. That is the reason that King Koopa Keith is here. But first, we're going to get started off with what have you been playing? And Keith, since you haven't been around for a while, regale our viewers, what have you been playing recently?
Nintendo-wise, nothing, because my Switch was broken.
Oh, that's right.
And it's on the way back. It'll be here tomorrow. I can't wait to see what they did.
Yeah, but tell them what Nintendo did for you, though.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. So I've had my Switch since day one. So this is day one Nintendo Switch. And over the last couple of weeks, I've noticed that my left Joy-Con stopped charging. So I took my Joy-Con for my son and used his, and it didn't charge either. And then I noticed it stopped connecting. So I looked at the inside of the connector and noticed there was some kind of corrosion in there. So I called Nintendo up and I was like, hey, there's some weird stuff happening with this Switch. And I explained it to them. And they were like, all right, send it in for repair. And they were like, we might charge you $100. We don't know yet. So they got it. And I kept asking them, hey, what's going on with this Switch? What's going on with this Switch? The next thing I know, it says, hey, your Switch has been repaired and we're sending it out to you. And I'm like, you didn't charge me $100. Awesome. Thank you. So they fixed my Switch for free.
Yep. Nice.
I can't wait to see if it's my Switch or they just say, you know what, here's another one.
Here's another one, yeah.
Because
Nintendo
they did,
customer service is very good.
I've lost my screen protector and my data, so I hope they don't do that.
Oh, they wouldn't.
They won't.
Yeah, technically the data is transferable as long as you remember your profile name. That was the beauty of the Switch, so that you could transfer it from Switch to Switch should you upgrade. So
yeah, I hope they didn't give me another Switch. I kind of liked my old one.
I understand. Well,
I accidentally scratched off a gift card code one time, and I thought I was going to be out $50, and like 10 minutes, getting a rep from Nintendo, and it was fixed, and they put the money right in my account, which was
a
delightful experience. Their customer service is very good.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, other than that, though, I mean, I have been playing a game that came on the Switch first, but it's not the Switch now. Can I say that?
Yes.
Yeah.
The next Mechana, which is coming out for the PC on February 13th, and I've been playing it, and it is just like the Switch version, just better frame rate.
Yeah.
So it is.
So it is.
And you of course, really Keith, like that game, though.
Yeah,
right?
Keith loves mech games.
I love mech games. I'm a mech head. I love those kind of games, and it's a shame because they're not really appreciated anymore. They really aren't.
No, they really haven't. I think for me, the mech genre really fell off when, what year was this? I think it may have been 2014, maybe 13, when Miyamoto was showing off the Wii U and he had a Project Giant Robot.
That's
and it was like wrestling with like a giant robot on the Wii U gamepad, and it just looked like the single worst game you have ever seen. That I think was the end of
No. The end of the mech genre as we knew it was when they tried to put that one mech game on the Kinect.
What?
And, there was a mech game on the Kinect, and it was so unplayable that it was the first and one of the only recipients of the X-Play half a star review score. They literally made a half a star review so they could give it to that game because it was that bad. You couldn't play it, which is not a shock because the Kinect was horrible and a terrible way to try and rip off the success of the Wii. Shock, Microsoft trying to steal from Nintendo. But no, that was the worst game of the mech genre.
What was that game? Now I gotta look it up.
I think it was like Heavy Metal or like Mech Commander.
No, Heavy Metal. Yeah, Heavy Metal was like a PlayStation.
You're right. It was like Mech Commander or something like that. Maybe it was like Mech Commander Heavy Metal. I don't remember. But it was you were like in a mech and you had to try and control it with the Kinect, but it wouldn't. Connect with your motions.
Steel Battalion Heavy Armor?
No,
there it is. I knew it had heavy in the title.
No, that wasn't it. Steel Battalion came out for Xbox 360 with a giant controller. Wasn't that?
Well, I know one of them. Okay, I'm gonna look at it myself.
Maybe it came out for because I'm looking for it now. I was like, I don't know what game this is.
Well, I remember the review because it was I just blanked on his name. But it was the male host of X-Play at the time. It wasn't Adam Sessler. This was after he left. But
I think they did come out with another version. Yeah, it was Steel Battalion. It was Steel Battalion Heavy Armor, the original one.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, the original one had the controller. Then they tried to do another one with the Kinects. Yeah, I remember that. Because they couldn't get the giant controller anymore. The first one's so great because they loved that big honking controller. But you can't get anywhere because people don't want to part with them.
Nope.
I've tried to find one.
That was the end of the mech genre. Oh, we're just kidding, obviously, because...
No, it was Armored Core. When Armored Core stopped, when From Software stopped doing those games on the consoles, that was the end. People loved those.
I mean, there have been attempts to bring it back, but they failed, like Left Behind. Remember that one?
It's still alive. It's just, it's a very niche. Yeah, it's very
niche. So, oh well. All right, for me, I have been continuing on my adventure with a Pokemon Shield, and I am happy to say that I have found my Ice Stone. I have my Glaceon, and I am slowly but surely leveling it up. I'm going to be going on a leveling binge because I am ready to face Rayhan, the Dragon Master, so obviously I need my Ice type at full power. So I got to do some more max raid battles so I can get those experience candies because I've ran out. So I mean that's where you get them, right, Tyler? The max raid battles.
Okay, yeah, get some of the max raid battles.
I'll head to the wild area and just spam those max raid battles to level up. It's not too bad. I apparently had 21 of like the XS, which is the extra small candies, and like that was nice. And then I had 4 or 5 regular rare candies, so that was a big help. And then I had a medium boost. And then I found an area near where the Ice Stone was where there were Whalmer everywhere. And apparently when you fight a Whalmer, it's like 1,000 experience per. So I just got my Bulletin to just kill every one of them in one shot. And so my Glaceon started leveling up real quick. So then I got bored, so I went to go fight Pierce. And now I'm going to go back to leveling up. So, because you can only kill so many Whalmer.
Yeah, so that's very true.
So, I'm looking forward to that, and I have just evolved my Growlithe into Arcanine, who is just as cool as I remember. So, and I know one of Tyler's favorite Pokemon.
It is a great mon.
It is, and it's my head fire type. Like I said, my team is now fully evolved. I've got my Inteleon, I've got Noivern, who just evolved recently, got Boltund, Gardevoir, I've got Glaceon, and Arcanine. So I got a nice, well-balanced team.
That is well balanced, Tyler. And you have a good representation from the various games.
I do. So, well, they say you got to catch them all.
They do.
But I'm still having fun with that. And then Fire Emblem Heroes, obviously. I've been I was playing the voting gauntlet, and I was supporting my queen Nyla, who lost in the final match in decisive fashion to Silky.
Yeah, Silky was. I was on Nyla's team too, and
that was
Silky
weird.
Was just way. I just don't understand.
I mean, she lost by like 7 million. I mean, what the
heck?
It
was a blowout. I don't understand why certain characters, Silky, are beloved.
I refuse to think that Silky is better than my queen.
I agree.
So, ugh. Anyway, but okay, you'll appreciate this, Tyler. A really weird thing's been happening to me in regards to summon sessions, because usually when you get like the free summons or like the tickets, you know, like we've been getting for the third anniversary, you don't really get anything because it's, you know, it's one shot, it's 3%. And yeah, I kid you not, when they've been doing like a lot of these recurring banners for the first week of the anniversary, I've gotten, I think, 3 or 4 5-star characters that I've never gotten before. And like I was on the free summon. It was crazy.
That's
like,
good.
I got like the flying version of a female Morgan. I got the female swordsman from Mystery of the Emblem that we just had a little bit ago. I can't remember her name. Then I got like one more character, and it's just like I've been getting like 5 stars like crazy, and it's just, and I still have like 350 orbs.
Nice.
So I might splurge a little for the Valentine's Day banner that's coming out tonight, which I know you are excited for.
Yeah, just because I love Shadows of Valentia so much.
I do too.
I usually don't do the special banners, but
neither
I'll have to try for the Almond Celica.
Yeah, I might do them because, dang it, that combo is cute.
Yeah, like, Almond's the greatest. What a great game. That game was so great.
I'm glad that one got remade for the 3DS. So I have been playing that, and then I'm kind of fearful of what's going to happen when I beat Pokemon Shield, because then I'm like, what do? I guess I could go back to Fire Emblem Three Houses, but I want to wait for the fourth house to show up, you know, so
right.
I can play that alongside the new game so that, it kind of feels like a little more of a fresh experience. So we'll see how it goes. But
that comes out next week, right? So that's just around the corner.
It does?
I think it comes out on the 12th, I think.
Okay.
12th is a weird day. I guess it's a Tuesday. Is that weird?
No, 12th,
oh, no,
is, 12th is a Wednesday.
Yeah. That's an odd day, but I'm pretty sure it's
on
the 12th.
Friday. Anyway, but yeah, it's been a little bit of a light week because I've been working on a lot of stuff, but I've been enjoying it where I can, so.
Yeah, nice. No, you always got to squeeze in some time. I've been playing a ton of Smash Bros. I am back to my old ways. I am addicted to Smash Bros. Again. It's like because when Byleth came out, naturally I was gonna have to play that character a lot, and I really had fun using him and trying to learn his moves, because he's such a slow character. I usually play with the faster sword characters, but Byleth is very he works for me in a lot of ways, because I like the ridiculous range that he has. Reminds me of how Marth felt back in Brawl, where just the sword just seemed to extend forever, and you just could just throw out any move at any point and you'd hit somebody. Byleth is so similar, where his reach is just ridiculous, even if he's excruciatingly slow. But I probably spent, I don't know, like 5 hours the best each night this week playing Smash. I was like, I'm home from work, I'm like, I'm going to take a nap. But no, let me squeeze in a game of Smash. And then, of course, one game devolves into 2, devolves into 4. And then, 3 hours later, I'm like, okay, I got to go get dinner now. And then come back and play more Smash Bros. So it's been a ton of that for me. I've also been playing Fire Emblem Heroes a little bit as well. And like many folks, the Fae Pass is just... it's so aggravating to me.
That's news.
Oh, is that in our news? I didn't see it in there, so I was going to talk about it there. But okay, we'll get into that later then. Just very bad. Just know that it's very bad. And I just want to point out that Todd just put that in our news segment. So in my defense, it was not there previously.
It was not there, but I'm glad you reminded me, because that is a very controversial thing.
Yes, yes. But I've been messing around with that a little bit as well. I'm trying to get Micaiah right now, the Choose Your Legends Micaiah, because I guess I wasn't playing when that banner came out. I know I picked Alm for my free guy, and then I just moved on. So I've been wasting orbs trying to get them. That game is very frustrating and not very fun. I don't know why I continue to play it, but I do.
Punishment.
I've been playing. Yeah, it really is punishment. You get the summoning ring, and for some reason, even though you know it's like a 5% chance you're going to get what you want, you still trick yourself into thinking it's going to happen. And then when it doesn't, your brain does not release dopamine, and you're a sad boy. So you go collect more orbs to try to do it again, and when you get it, the rush is only lasts like 10 seconds, but what a rush it is.
All right. Well, let's get to the news, because there's been some very interesting things across a whole... platform, actually multiple platforms of content and intent. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. And this first one has kind of been teased for a while, but then it just came out of nowhere and just exploded. And we speak, of course, of the Wonderful 101. So if you recall, Wonderful 101 was the first Platinum game to come out on a Nintendo platform. It was for the Wii U. It was an exclusive for the Wii U. And while it definitely got a cult following because of its perfectly Platinum storyline and gameplay and such, it really didn't sell well. But like many other games on the Switch, there was a lot of rumors that it would get an HD remaster and be ported to the Switch to possibly get new life. Well, for one reason or another, that didn't happen. So Platinum Games decided, hey, we're just going to do this ourselves. And so they took the game to Kickstarter, and they were funded in all of 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Less than 30 minutes, actually.
Less than 30 minutes. There you go. So I definitely want to talk about this because this is there has been a long, long time rumor that this was going to come to Switch. And it will now officially come to Switch, but it's going to be more of a, we kickstarted it to get onto the Switch, not Nintendo wanted this on Switch, which is a big difference. Like,
yeah,
how like Bayonetta and everything else. So at present, I'm literally looking at the thing right now. It is at 156 million yen, which I know translates to something in dollars. I'm sure I'll figure it out.
It does translate to something in dollars. Good
yeah.
point.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. It's it's at $1.422 million, and we are at, I kid you not, 21,999 backers. Somebody, yep, be that 22,000th backer. Come on. Kidding. By the time you listen to this, we'll be way over there. But yeah, so we are at 1.4 million. And their goal was $50,000, basically. So I think they got enough money to make this work.
Yeah, they smashed through everything. They actually added, they went back and added more stretch goals. And yeah, they added some more now to keep the money flowing in still.
Yeah. Including getting blocked by Kamiya, which Will knows all about.
Yeah.
And then the current $1.5 million goal, which I'm pretty sure is going to come, is they're going to have a Luca's First Mission, which is a brand new 2D side-scrolling adventure starring the young hero. $1.75 million is going to be a remix soundtrack featuring a special guest. And then we have already got the Switch version, Steam version, PS4 version unlocked, and a time attack mode unlocked.
Yep.
So, yeah.
I really don't see this going much further. I think the people that wanted to make this dream a reality have already kickstarted the project. Because this hasn't really moved since the other day, since I looked at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's
I
wanted to talk about. Because
there's,
go ahead, please. Go.
There's definitely a specific gamer who really, really wants this. I know Will really, really liked Wonderful 101. But after that initial, like, whoa, they funded it in 30 minutes. Just look at draw a chart of how much the growth is really slowed. I mean, they got a third of what they have now in the first 30 minutes.
Yeah, pretty much. So,
the interesting thing would be is how many people are actually going to go ahead and withdraw their donation, because they have up until it actually finishes up. So the 20th day, they can go, hey, I don't want it anymore. I doubt that's going to happen, but it'll be interesting.
You wrote an article about this, Keith. You were disappointed that they didn't bring it to Xbox.
Yeah, so quick disclaimer, because I know a lot of people have called me out on this in the past, and I'll just explain this. I don't have any allegiance to any one platform, and I have this belief that if a game is considered a third-party game and not a first-party game, then everybody should have access to said game. So I feel bad that Xbox people don't have access to it. Just like today, when my review for Kunai came out, and it's only out for the Switch and PC, I said, it's a shame that PlayStation 4 and Xbox One owners can't play this game right now, because it's a great game. I feel that if a good game is playable, it should be playable by everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I agree in an ideal world. I do wonder, I mean, we know Kamiya is an interesting guy, and I am fairly confident that they didn't bring it to Xbox because of what happened with Scalebound, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm sure, even though that was years ago, I'm sure he still holds a grudge about them canceling that game.
We still don't know what happened with that. I would love to be a fly in that room to find out exactly what happened. He probably is holding a grudge, but at the end of the day, a business is a business is a business. You're out to make money.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting. And I said this a couple of days ago on Twitter about, I'm glad to see more and more Japanese games are making their way over to the PC, because for the longest time, PC gamers were like, I would love to have those games over here. And now they're getting them, and we're seeing more Japanese games come over here. So, or coming out to the PC. So I'm glad to see that Wonderful 101 is actually coming to the PC, because when it was rumored, the PC version wasn't part of that rumor.
No.
So now it is.
I wonder how they're going to make it, because this game really did require the Wii U gamepad. You had a draw to create the weapons that you would use or to change formations, and you could use a stick, but the stick was really inaccurate. And it's like on PC, I mean, I guess you could plug in a controller and do it that way, but I mean, on a keyboard, you certainly can't draw. So that was the biggest problem to me, was the inaccuracy. Maybe this game will be good now. Like, they might have to change the way they designed it. And I just think it was poorly designed and poorly conceived, but the art was great. The story was great. It had a really good feel to it. It just didn't work because the gameplay was so, I guess, frustrating is their word for it, because a lot of the times it would just not interpret what you're, if you're like me and you can't draw at all, yeah, or scribble, me. You're it's just incompetent and have no dexterity, you would constantly be getting the wrong things to show up, and it just wasn't a very fun experience.
Can I be honest? Played this game. I've never played it.
It definitely had potential. Like, the idea was really good, and it really gave you a comic book style feel. It was an immersive world. It just didn't control well. And I loved Kid Icarus Uprising. It was another game that people were upset with the controls. I feel like this game was so much worse than Kid Icarus Uprising.
Oh, yeah, it was. I could at least play Kid Icarus. Now, I got Wonderful 101 because back when they had Club Nintendo, I had a lot of points. And I went onto the store one day and I was like, okay, what game can I get? And around the price range that I had, they had the original Super Smash Brothers, or they had Wonderful 101. And I was like, well, I've played Smash Brothers to death, and I was kind of curious about Wonderful 101. And after a couple hours of the gameplay, I wish I bought Smash Brothers. I just couldn't get it. And there was this, I actually got stuck because there was this one boss I was supposed to do a certain thing with, and I thought I was really doing it, but no, I wasn't drawing it the correct way. And so I just stopped playing, and I never picked it up again. And I will not be backing this Kickstarter, despite the success that I wish on Platinum Games, whereas Bayonetta 3 and everything. So the reason I wanted to really talk about this was because, like Keith said, the plateau has basically been reached. I would be shocked, I tell you, if it reached like 30,000 or even 40,000. I'll be generous. And that's because, like I said, this game did not sell well on the Wii U, not in America, not in Japan, not anywhere else. And you can blame the gameplay, the story, the visuals, whatever you want, or the Wii U.
Wii U is 90% of it.
It's not just the Wii U. We got to establish that. Yes, the Wii U barely did not have the sales that the Switch had, but they still sold millions on some of their properties, like Smash Bros, like Splatoon, which was the best-selling game on
the
Switch.
Yeah, like
the
biggest Nintendo platform, the biggest Nintendo IPs. I mean,
Splatoon was not. Splatoon came out on the Switch, which showed that it made an impression.
Okay, so, I mean, so if that's a Nintendo first party game, though, that's a big difference. And I think Splatoon, it's a Nintendo first party game. I mean, that's the main reason that game sold super well, and obviously it was a huge hit in Japan.
Yeah, in Japan, and then it translated to America pretty well. Yeah. Anyway, but the reason I'm saying this is that, you know, it could have done better, but it didn't. And one of the reasons I believe is, like Tyler said, the gameplay. But you know, we can marvel at this success, and we could say, dang, you know, they got 1.4 million from this, and they've got, you know, 22,000 backers. But, you know, if this was just a re-release and they sold 22,000 units, this would be a flop. Again.
Right, right.
So, like, that's the difference. Like, it's great that they're doing this, and it's great that they're going to be on the PC and they're going to be on Steam, they're going to be on PS4. That doesn't mean that Nintendo was wrong to not make this, you know, bring this to the Switch, because they have to weigh their options. And while it's very easy to do this with first party titles like Mario Kart, like Pokken Tournament, which I guess was technically third party, and you know, certain other ones, this was a clear case of this may not sell well. You know, Bayonetta 3 was already in the works, and they wanted to make sure that as many people played it as possible, and that's why they brought Bayonetta 1 and 2. You know, Wonderful 101 did not sell as well as Bayonetta at all. So That's the difference. So don't blame Nintendo for this. This was not their fault. This was their call to say this probably won't do well on Switch, and based on what we're seeing here, they were right.
Well, that is an interesting thing about this, is that from behind the scenes, from what we've seen from, I guess, credible sources, they've been saying Platinum pitched this Nintendo. They said they wanted to bring it, and Nintendo basically said, we don't really want it, which I'm sure, like you said, was because it sold so poorly previously, and because it just was not a very great game. But yeah, it was interesting that they had to go the Kickstarter route for it. And it does show on a positive note how passionate the team is about the game, because they had to jump through a lot of hoops to actually bring this to Switch and to PlayStation and to PC.
So, again, congrats to Platinum. They're thrilled. Like, they even did a video showing like how excited they were that they like smashed all their goals and everything. Like Keith said, they're, you know, doing more stretch goals to keep the things rolling, and, you know, I wish them the best, but just make sure you have your success in context, dear viewers, because there's a difference between having a successful Kickstarter and having a successful video game.
I'm looking forward to see what else they're going to do if now that this is deemed successful in their eyes.
Yes. Although I will say that this kind of basically deconfirms that Wonder Red is going to be a Smash Bros. Character.
I wouldn't say that, but...
I would.
It's unlikely already. I mean, I would say Travis Touchdown has a better chance than...
Yeah. All right, so moving on. Actually, let's keep with the transition from Switch to PC with the game that Keith was playing, Daemon X Machina. Because Daemon X Machina is confirmed, like he said, to be coming to the PC on February 13th, you said?
Yep, 13th, yep.
So this was another game that, you know, was exclusive to the Switch in this case, and it was made by Marvelous, and it kind of got a big reveal, including being the lead-off on a Nintendo Direct, if I remember correctly.
It was a lead-off at E3. It was a lead-off at E3 2 years ago.
What the freak is Daemon X Machina?
Yeah, I was, because we knew Smash at that point. It was so odd that they opened with that.
Well, I think they were just trying to show, like, hey, we're serious about our third-party support, and I know what, I was amazed. I liked the demo, but in the end, I just didn't feel it was enough for me to warrant it, and as I saw, like, the review scores for the game, they were like, you know, you're either a mech guy or you're not, and I'm like, I'm not really a mech guy, and, you know, the demo was fun, but it was also frustrating in certain elements, and that's the last thing I need is a frustrating video game in my life, because I got so much else to be frustrated about. But, you know, and if Keith loves it, good for you, Keith. I'm glad you do. I'm glad you're playing it. And he clearly got a review copy, because that's why you're playing it now.
It's correct.
Yeah. Because I'm sure someone was doing it. I thought you said that Keith was playing it. You said it coming out on the 13th. Yes. But I think this is a good move. Because, A, this is a good move for Marvelous, because it gives the potential to get more people behind the game. And it's possible. Like, do you think that it plays better on the PC than it would on a Switch, Keith?
I've only used it with the controller. I have not used keyboard and mouse. I would imagine that it plays better with the keyboard and mouse, but everything that was in the Switch version is in the PC version, so it still has the control schemes, so it has the auto lock on that shoots for you or targets everything for you. So nothing has really changed. As far as it selling well on the PC, I think it will, just because the PC platform tends to enjoy the mecha games a lot more. Plus, you get into the whole modding scene where they change up things, and they love doing that stuff with these sorts of games. And the online is a lot better.
I don't deny that at all. It's Steam.
So yeah, I think it'll do a lot better on the PC. And you kind of got to wonder if it was going to come to the PC in the first place. Because every time I hit up our PR for Marvelous Next Seed, I was like, so is this game coming out on the other platforms anytime soon? And they would never answer my question. So I was like, I guess it is. Surprise.
Classified.
I'm glad it is out on the PC. Again, this is a game that should be on, at the very least, the PlayStation 4 as well.
Maybe it will. Maybe if it does well on Steam, they'll move it to the PS4. I don't know.
I think when it comes to the PC platform, it's now more than ever, it's seen as the neutral party. Like Sony, okay, we'll put Street Fighter 4 or Street Fighter 5 on the PlayStation 4. And the PC. Microsoft, okay, we'll put it on the Xbox One and the PC. And you get these other games that come up on other platforms, but it's like, we'll put it on the PC as well, because the PC is not really bothering us right now. It's just there in its own space.
Pretty much.
It's weird.
Well, it's like you said, there needs to be a neutral party, and even then, it's not really neutral because you got Steam versus Epic Game Store.
Oh, I don't want to get in that.
We'll leave that be. But still, for all of you who are wanting to do Daemon, but wanting to maybe play on a slightly better platform with better internet and such, wait for the 13th.
Oh, yes, the frame rate is so much better.
So, but yeah, enjoy it there. And hey, if there are other third parties want to eventually take them away from Switch to go on other platforms, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with timed exclusives in context. You know, like as long as it helps the franchise as a whole, like a Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. I would honestly be okay if that went to like PS4 or Xbox, because Ultimate Alliance has never been exclusive before. This is the first time that's ever been that way. And Marvel is, you know, universal. Or should I say multiversal?
Oh, it's interesting. There's rumors that Marvel is going to supposedly announce a Marvel game at PAX East, which I'll be at, going to a Marvel panel. You never know. It could be that game.
Well,
on other platforms.
As we covered last week on the show, or was it the week before that? I can't remember. Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 did reach over 1 million sales on the Switch. So it did its job. All right. If you reach 1 million sales on anything, you did a good job. So they're going to clearly keep working with Switch, especially now that they've got over 52 million in sales. So I'm fine with if they move to another platform just to, you know, milk it. Why not? Because the Switch did its job. So bully for you. All right, so from a couple of ports to a slightly bad story, Outer Worlds, as we noted last week, was
slightly bad.
I'm trying to keep this kind, all right? I don't want to go doom and gloom on this.
I would say probably a little worse than slightly bad.
Okay, fine. A sad story. How about that?
Yeah.
A sad story based on real world events. How about that?
Yeah.
Oh wait. Oh, sad. You want to go deeper? The following story is based on real events. The names and places have been rewritten to not, you know what I mean. Anyway, Outer Worlds is supposed to come out on March 6th for the Switch.
Oh, boy.
What?
No, go ahead.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Oh, come
no, keep
on.
Going.
I thought you like, had like breaking news or something. Like, what happened now? No, Outer Worlds is supposed to come out on the Switch on March 6th. However, because of the outbreak of the coronavirus, it has now been pushed back.
That's why I was saying, oh boy.
Yeah. So don't scare me like that, dude.
That virus is just causing all sorts of havoc in everybody's lives. And also, and I don't want to say that gaming is important because your personal life and your well-being is more important. But this is just, hey, I never thought it would impact the gaming world, but it totally is in more ways than people thought it was going to do.
Yeah, for real. I mean, this is definitely a shock. They said that the team is healthy and fine, but sure that they don't, you know, risk infection by being out and about. They're indefinitely postponing it. I don't know if this is related or not, but in the same tweet, they also said that they were now, if you remember last week, we said they were not releasing a cartridge version. Now they are releasing a cartridge version for Switch. So although you have to wait longer, there is going to be an actual physical version now, which is nice.
Yeah,
I don't understand that, but okay.
You don't understand why they were only doing digital in the first place, or you don't understand why they're doing... Okay. Well, I try not to understand game
developers. I imagine the cartridges, they have to pay for them, and they're probably fairly... And I mean, that's a big game, so I know when you have to buy an SD card, it's like $80, so I'm sure it's expensive.
You gotta remember the Switch tax.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
But, yeah, so our thoughts with the Outer Worlds team, you know, take your time, we'll be ready for the game when you release it for Switch. Your lives and safety come first, always. Alright, moving on to a story that actually makes me happy, because over the last, like, month or so, we've been really talking... Oh, by the way, Tyler.
Yes.
I forgot to mention this to you. You were wrong.
I was never wrong.
Yeah, you were. You said that this week... This
oh, yes,
week
I did
when
say
the
this.
Nintendo Direct was going to come.
I know,
come.
I was wrong.
Everybody's still guessing about that, huh?
Yeah.
Sorry, I was wrong. Yeah. I meant to introduce with that, but I was so thrown by you nailing the intro on the first try that I forgot... Yeah.
So in the words of Invader Zim, you lie. You lie.
So I know my track record. You have reason to question it right now. Wrong. Next week, I mean, for sure. Guaranteed Nintendo Direct next week. 100% uh-huh. Book it next week.
Uh-huh. I will laugh so hard. I will laugh in Vader Zim style when you are wrong again. So, but the worst
I'm
part
glad
about that...
Me throwing out arbitrary, I think, Nintendo Directs and then being wrong gives you the joy to forget that there hasn't been a Nintendo Direct.
This is true. Well, that has just been so busy, and I'm starting to prepare for my first Comic-Con of the year, so I haven't had time to think about it. But yesterday I thought about it because there was one of them dumb rumor pages about the next Direct's going to be. And so I click on it just to entertain myself. And not only did they say that it's going to be the middle of March, they said that it's not a real Nintendo Direct, it's an indie Direct. And I'm just like, then why did you make the dang post? I mean... We here at the Outer Haven have a much higher integrity. Isn't that right, Keith?
I plead the, what's the one, is it the fourth or the fifth? I don't know anymore. I plead that. How about that? I'm not saying anything.
What is the Fourth Amendment? I used to know, all the amendments.
Yeah, I think the fourth is you don't have to quarter soldiers for some reason. I could be wrong. I know that's in the top ten.
Yeah.
But
it's been forever.
No, you don't have to keep soldiers in your house. Good amendment. That's a very good amendment. Underappreciated amendment. I'm glad we don't have to do that.
I still don't understand the second one, right to bear arms. I mean, if your arms aren't muscular, do you really need to bear them? I mean, some people like to hide that stuff.
Maybe one for pity. Pity me.
Yeah.
Pity. Bad for me.
Maybe. Anyway,
okay, Fourth Amendment problem, so is search and seizure.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Search and seizure. No illegal search and seizures. I remember that.
Not in America.
Yeah.
No, it is America. It's the amendment.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Moving on, we're not getting political. If we do, I'm breaking out the Trump impersonation. I will. Tyler knows I do a good one too. Anyway, so
probably good.
Good. But
moving on,
he does a
like
Trump impression. He does.
Okay, listen to me. I do an amazing Trump impersonation. I would know this because I know good Trump impersonations. And anyone who says that this is not a good Trump impersonation, they go over the wall. Okay, I don't care. It's funded by Mexico. All right, the wall is there to throw you over when you don't like my impersonation. You're welcome. Suck it. Moving on. So as I've been noting over the past month, Nintendo has been very, let's just call it lax of the games that they've been making, and yet the president has said that there are games coming. Whether I believe him, I don't know. But he says a variety of software has been released for Nintendo Switch, including titles highly anticipated by consumers, completely new titles, and unique titles achievable only through the integrated development of hardware and software. Nintendo Switch has become the platform that brings together the numerous franchises that have supported our previous home console and handheld systems. We are developing many new titles for Nintendo Switch in addition to the ones that have been announced. New titles will be released continuously going forward, not just Nintendo titles, but also titles in a variety of genres, including indie and from other software publishers, end quote. Good for you. Tell them to me now!
Is one of them F-Zero, please?
Yes, please.
I'm tired of asking. I'm just going to give up.
I would much rather have Mario Kart 9 than an F-Zero.
Why not both?
Why not?
Of course, why not both? But if I had to pick one, that's the point here. Is if I had to pick one, it would be Mario Kart.
Why are you hating F-Zero? Seriously.
Because, listen, Captain Falcon in Smash Bros., every single person who uses him thinks that they're cool. And I just, the longer those people go without having an F-Zero game, I'm happy. No, that's not true. I played the original F-Zero, and it hasn't aged great. But game that's because two. It's a game from 1990, so that's fine. I love Mario Kart, so I'd rather have a Mario Kart game.
Yeah. I'm happy that they're saying this, and I'm happy that they are willing to admit that more games are coming from both first indie and third parties, but it's easy to say that.
I, too, am glad that Nintendo is confirming that they will release more games in the future.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. I mean, I thought that maybe the last Nintendo game we would ever get was Tokyo Mirage Sessions Sharp at the Encore. But good news, they do still make games.
Yeah.
They just don't tell us what games they are. Just make us wait.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
And that's why we need the Nintendo Direct now more than ever. So when's it coming out, Tyler?
It's next week, Todd. It is next week. It's going to be on it's Tuesday, and I'm going to say it's at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
You know what? I'm going to go one further and say it's going to come out the same time as the announcement for the PlayStation 5 in February.
Wow.
What I mean, it's not going to happen.
I don't know. It's just, it needs to happen. It needs to happen soon, and we need to be sure that, you know, the games that are coming out are worthy. Now, there's a new rumor coming out to stay with us, is that the rumor is that one of the reasons that, we talked about this last week, in light of Breath of the Wild 2 possibly being delayed, possibly, this is not confirmed, that Mario Kart 9 is going to take over as the big killer app of the year. Which would make sense, because it's been 3 years, more or less, since Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which again was a port with all the DLC.
So the rumor specifically, sorry to cut you off, but I think so Mario Kart 9, people are filling in that gap. They said it might have something to do with tires. So Mario Kart has tires, yes. But there could be other games with tires that are involved here. It's probably Mario Kart, but hey, we've been surprised before.
This is true. This is true. So maybe they can make an F-Zero game with tires.
No, please. We don't want
F-Zero's
that.
Not tires.
That's not F-Zero, man. That's not the F-Zero.
If it doesn't have hovercraft floating off the ground, futuristic vibes, we don't want it.
Yeah.
Please don't.
I agree. Actually, I have one more thing on this. If they made Diddy Kong Racing 2, that would be the best racing game they could release.
Wow.
Better than Mario Kart?
Yeah, better than Mario Kart. They could release Diddy Kong Racing 2. Whew, what a day that would be. It's still the best racing game of all time.
Hey, you know what? This announcement of them saying they're going to announce stuff soon or in the future, Nintendo will be at PAX East.
That's
true.
Maybe
they should make a beeline over there and see what they got.
Yeah. And then tell them to give us more review codes and such. I know, Keith. But I also want to note that you can associate every host on the – I'm going to say main host because obviously the guests haven't talked about it that much. But you can associate every main host with that one game that they want to have released. Will wants Skies of Arcadia 2. Tyler wants Diddy Kong Racing 2. And I want a true sequel to Thousand Year Door. So
– I think you're going to get your wish.
It's possible. The rumors keep piling up that Paper Mario is coming. We will see.
The Skies of Arcadia, that's up to Sega.
Oh, yeah. I know, but like it, Will won't shut up about it.
I know you listen to the program, Keith, but every episode Will mentions how he wants the Skies of Arcadia. Whenever we talk about a game that we want, Will always says Skies of Arcadia every time. It's hilarious.
You better tell him to start harassing our Sega reps. Like, hey, make it happen, Captain.
Okay, Keith, listen to me, okay?
But don't give Will the review. Give it to Todd. That would be hilarious. Yeah. What a move.
Tyler, if Todd reviews that game, it is not a true review.
Have they ever reported that first game?
It was on GameCube.
Yeah,
they took it from Dreamcast and put it to GameCube.
Yeah,
but even still, how many years are we talking about? I mean, geez,
at least 10 to 15, at least
2000. No, yeah. No, 2003. 17 years.
Give or take, yeah.
Wow.
Yet Will still wants it because Will is Will.
Nani?
Yes, somebody buy him a Dreamcast. There you go.
Yeah.
Or a GameCube. There you go.
Dreamcast
Will.
2 will do better than Stadia. Book it.
I think at this point anything will do better than Stadia. I take it back. That Atari console, VCS. Yeah, that's gonna fail too.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Poor Stadia. Good try.
No, not even a good try. Don't even say that.
It wasn't a good try.
They didn't do anything.
I'm still scarred by the Stadia commercials that we had during the Game Awards. They were so dumb, so stupid, and too dang long. Like, dude, I know you want us to get high, but like, it's not the 60s, and we don't get high and play video games. Okay, I'm sure some people do.
I'm waiting for Google to go, you know what? We tried. It was good effort. Discontinued. Oh. Thanks, guys.
Yeah,
it wasn't a good effort though.
This feels bad. This feels real bad.
Okay, we'll stop bashing Google for now, but I'm gonna bring them up a little later. We're gonna bring them up later. All right, now to something that Tyler will enjoy: Banjo-Kazooie. We're not getting a Banjo-Kazooie game on Switch. I'm so sorry. In fact, more rumors are saying that a Banjo-Kazooie game is more and more unlikely.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. But hey, maybe you can pray to the Nintendo gods that they'll
listen.
You know,
Banjo's
buy
in
Rare
Smash, and he's cool. So that's all I could ask for.
So now we've heard for about a year now about how Banjo-Kazooie got into the game Ultimate, but we never really heard like the really true story apparently. So this particular story came from the head of Rare, Craig Duncan, and he was talking with GameIndustry.biz when he said, quote, "Minecraft had paid the way for that relationship between Nintendo and Microsoft. I met with Nintendo at E3 before we announced it, and then we connected our teams because we thought it seemed like a great opportunity. We had an initial kickoff call with Sakurai-san and some of his team. There was myself, Greg Males, who's the father of Banjo, even though he hates it when we call him that, Andrew Wensley, who runs our business team, and a chap called Paul Cunningham." Pause. Can we just say he just called him a chap?
It's
a pretty lovely chap.
What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that? If I don't chop, what?
They
watch?
Are British. I mean,
Rare's British?
Rare's British, yes.
I did not know that.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, have you played Banjo-Kazooie? It's extremely British humor. It's hilarious.
I played it when I was like 10 or 13. I remember the tone and the language of a game like that.
Great game.
I'm going to say it was a great game, but I'm saying I never owned it. I only rented it from the Pizza King nearby. Anyway, continuing the quote, there's British people. Those people had a conversation. Nintendo talked through what their approach would be, and then the process started. And then a year goes by of sharing animatics and ideas and character concepts. It was a back and forth. We ended up something that was really great, but the execution came from the Smash team. So technically, we owe Minecraft for getting Banjo-Kazooie and a Smash Brothers.
Don't tell the people who want Minecraft Steve to be a DLC character, because they will
be
so very angry.
That would be sad. I do not. Minecraft Steve does not deserve to be in Smash
Brothers. Minecraft Steve would be way better than Terry. I mean, way better than Terry. Come on. It's true.
It's not true.
Minecraft is the most played game of all time. Minecraft Steve, or Minecraft any character, would be way better than Terry.
Shut up. Oh, good.
See,
you
I shut
listen.
Up, and then you just still be silent.
I was waiting to see how long you would hold it. I knew you couldn't resist, and sure enough, you cracked first.
Yeah, I did crack first, just because, you know, I love the pod, and a dead air is never good. And don't edit out that dead air. Everybody needs to know.
Oh, I'm not.
I'm not.
I only edit out the dead air when I feel it's natural, but this isn't natural. Anyway, so from one character to another, let's go on to the still highly controversial pick of Byleth, because people just won't get over themselves. Ugh. So Sakurai has talked recently during his Famitsu column, and he noted some things about Smash Brothers that I'm sure some people are going to take out of context until the full column comes out. And he noted that the new fighters, the DLC fighters, were not Sakurai's own favorites, which I believe except for Dragon Quest. All right, because he said that he loves Dragon Quest with all his heart. So,
no, he does. But he also said from the beginning that he hasn't picked any of these characters. That was an annoying thing for me. A lot of Byleth haters were like, Sakurai wasted a spot. Like, Sakurai didn't pick them. He said he didn't. It's been Nintendo the whole time. Nintendo picked him.
Well, I'm sure it was like a team that picked him. But yes. And in fact, the second line says, once again, Nintendo was behind those choices. But I still think he was very happy with having Dragon Quest Hero.
Oh, I'm sure he was.
And
he made an awesome character. Hero is, of all the DLC characters, the most creative. I think the best one, not gameplay wise, I mean, not the Joker's the strongest fighter, but the way that he made Hero, you can tell that there was a lot of passion that went into creating that character.
So other highlights of the article said that Sakurai understands that there are too many Fire Emblem characters. He also understands that there are too many swords users. And we agree. I mean, we talked about this when Byleth came out, that the reason that a lot of people hated Byleth was because there are a lot of Fire Emblem characters in the game. And that's because everyone is here. Because in a perfect, you know, world, more than likely they would keep Marth, because he's the original. They would keep Ike, because he's classic. They would either keep Robin or Corrin, one of the two, maybe both. Well, just depends on the roster size. And then Roy, Lucina, Crom would all be gone because their clones are Echoes. So that eliminates it right there. And then, of course, if you keep Byleth in there, that's 3, 4, or 5. So, which would maybe be less than Pokemon and Mario. So we get it. And he gets it. That's also why he did Byleth the way he did, was so that wasn't just a swords user. They even made fun of it in the trailer. So, You people. What do you mean, you people? What do you mean, you people? I mean, you people. You know what I'm talking about.
And like this things like this, I think on the with the Twitter being what it is, people get really worked up and then they really move on like a week later. I think people are over it now. It's like there are too many Fire Emblem characters, or I guess Fire Emblem is overrepresented for sure in Smash yeah. Bros. But at this point, we're just waiting for the next one.
Yeah. So for you people, you know who you are. Just stop it, all right? And I would bet, hey, if it makes you feel better, I would bet you there's not a Fire Emblem character in the next DLC pack. And then the next one is like Dimitri. It's like, dang it!
That would be awesome if it was
it
Dimitri.
It would be awesome. We do need a pure Lance user. I mean, we do not.
We do.
Or an Axe user.
We're an Axe user.
I've been piloting for Hector in Smash Brothers for years.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He'd be a slow, heavy armor character. He has an Axe. It'd be different moveset, and it'd be awesome. But no. Oh, well. So, but those were the basic things. And so, you know, Sakurai sees your complaints. You know, Sakurai God is aware of what his creations are not happy about. So it'll be okay. Hopefully.
Unlike Fae Pass, which is just absolute torture.
Yeah.
So they announced it. They announced Fae Pass at a Fae Channel thing.
For
the third anniversary, they did a Fae Channel, and then they announced Fae Pass, which is a subscription-based thing for Fire Emblem Heroes that gives you like bonus missions, and there's a couple of like small rewards that it gives you, but it's like $9 a month, and the worst part about it, it wouldn't be a big deal because they've done it for Animal Crossing. Animal Crossing Pocket Camp has a subscription service. Mario Kart Tour has a subscription service. But and now Fire Emblem Heroes has one as well. But it's so intrusive. That's the problem. It is so intrusive. They have, when you check your quests, they have the Fae Pass quests. And it keeps tabs on whether you've completed those Fae Pass quests or not. So I'm like, oh, I have 3 orbs sitting here. You click on them and it says, oh, sorry, you need to go buy the pass to collect your prize here. When you click on a map and training tower, it comes up, go to the shop to buy your Fae Pass to be able to like simulate this. It's so intrusive. It is, if it just existed, it would be something easy to ignore and not care about. But they are dangling this in front of your face, taunting you every time you sign into the game. It's awful.
I honestly haven't had that, but I've only been playing it lightly since I don't have like a Tempest Trials or whatever.
If
but
you
I'm sure
sign, if you log in right now, you will see it.
I will log in right now just to challenge you. But but while I'm waiting for the loading screen, oh, there it is. Tapping start. Nope. I'm not seeing anything.
Click. Did you kill anybody today?
Today, I'm not sure.
Just click your quest. Click quest.
Okay, quests.
And you'll see the yellow button.
Oh, I do see a yellow button.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's just, it's always there and it keeps track of every single thing that you do. It is awful. It is the absolute worst.
All right, but to further elaborate on the Fae Pass, here's what it is. Thankfully, I wrote it down in the chat. It is $9.50 a month. So it's basically, you know, $120 a year. And when you get the game, or sorry, when you get the Fae Pass, you will get what is called Resplendent Heroes.
Oh,
and
right,
what these are is that there are 2 characters a month, just to be clear, 2 characters a month that will have new looks, improved stats, and that's basically it. The first 2 heroes are Resplendent Lynn and Cordelia. I admire the choices at least. And the new outfits are that they are going to be looking like the Kingdoms of Asker. Or crap. What's Fjorm's? Nile, or whatever it's called. And you know, it's basically all the realms of Fire Emblem Heroes are going to have their clothes transposed on these heroes. That's the joke. That's all you get. It's not, you know, a whole bunch of new attacks or weapons or whatever. It's just slightly improved stats and new looks. And then you're going to have special quests. That was the yellow button that Tyler was talking about. So you can get all, you know, special rewards. You're going to have summoner support, so you can do 3 character supports instead of just 2. You can have a rewind button, which will allow you to go to the beginning of your turn, your whole turn, not just one like character action. so you can redo something. So it's basically Divine Pulse. And then Auto Start, which will let you play the same map over and over and over again so you can quickly get into battle. So, like, this will be good for Tempest Trials. So that's what you're getting for $9.50 a month.
It's horrible.
It really is. It really is. It's so horrible, Keith hasn't said a word.
I don't even play the game.
I know.
I just watch you guys talk about it in the channel. I'm like, oh, okay, it's nice. All right, moving on.
Yeah, I'm kidding. Don't worry about it. No, I'm just joking. No,
you guys haven't been talking about it as much, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, because it's just not. It's not.
It's really,
really
bad. It honestly is really bad. It kind of is. So I mean, I'm curious to see what you think. Like, a lot of people have already, you know, kind of raised this whole idea of Fae Pass, but again, it obviously is subjective. I'm sure some people are going to dig it. You kind of have to wonder if this is in light of apparently recent reports that subscribers. I mean, it's always been down, but like there's like less people playing apparently than usual, and so they're trying to make sure that they get as much money as they can.
Right, exactly. Exactly, and that's what that's why they're being so aggressive about trying to get people to buy it. And I'm calling out Wario Will, who's 3,000 miles away. There's no doubt in my mind that he's already bought this.
Actually, no, I would say he's not, because if you looked at our chat, right under that, when I told him what's going on, he did his classic anime blinking gif.
He did.
Yeah,
he
so did. I think even he will...
He needs to mix up his gifs. He uses the same three every time.
Well, it's Will. I don't expect a lot of creativity.
If I see Will post
the
hot.
He likes using those because he's very comfortable with them.
That's true.
He doesn't
That's
like
a good
this,
point.
He doesn't like to change things up.
That's true. He plays it safe.
You don't have to worry about the new gifs if you never have to look for them.
Tapping
the forehead. gosh. All right. And then finally, another little piece of controversy. Animal Crossing. What? What could possibly be wrong with Animal Crossing? Well, let me tell you. So, apparently, Nintendo decided that for each Nintendo Switch console that you have Animal Crossing on, that console is one island. Now, if you recall, New Horizons is you are going to a new island funded by Tom Nook, aka you're in debt to Tom Nook again, and you have to, you know, build up the island to be a paradise. Okay, so your island is where you and certain other players will get to play. The catch is that the other players are all the profiles that are on your Nintendo Switch, which can have up to 7 profiles at one time. So technically speaking, like, me and Keith can't share the same island because we don't share the same Switch. Me and Tyler cannot share the same island because we don't have the same Switch. So while there is, like, certain multiplayer functionalities, based on everything I'm seeing, we're saying that you cannot go to another person's island and build upon that because it's not your island.
Yeah. Yeah, it's ridiculous that the cloud saving, if your Switch were to break, you'd be out of luck, which is horrible. I mean, it's just, there's no, especially for Animal Crossing, that's a game you play over years, and you build up your island over years. I don't understand why Nintendo can't figure this basic stuff out. It's infuriating. You just don't see this from other companies. I don't know why they can't get such a basic thing done. It's Animal Crossing, having that flexibility, the cloud saving, being able to switch your island over to different consoles, it's very important.
Yeah.
Well,
so, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's because Nintendo does not understand the concept of a good online system. I thought they were going somewhere with Nintendo Switch Online. They're like, hey, we're going to give you these cloud saves, and then they started backpedaling. I don't know. I don't understand this, especially in this age right now, where I don't want to say cloud saves are more of a, they're not a privilege anymore. They're expected. Everybody expects a game to now have access to save their stuff into the cloud, mm-hmm. which I think should be, but I don't know why Nintendo is like, we it's not a big thing for us.
Yeah.
And it hurts. It really
does. And then there's this weird, like, apparently restrictive, like, cloud saving kind of thing, like backup data, though this apparently may be saved or fixed. It's kind of weird. Obviously, they've got, like, a month and a half to fix the saving feature, but there's, like, this weird stuff about, you know, backup saves and where it can go, and, you know, you can only, like, use the backup save data in certain instances. It's not very clear, so we'll see. We'll see. But yeah. Nintendo, I like to say, is beautifully forward in certain ideas and horribly backward in other ideas. Like, when it comes to their first party franchises, they know how to make them work 9 times out of 10. I mean, what was the last first party franchise that honestly failed? Exactly. Yeah.
I can't think of one.
I mean, they've failed franchises over time, Paper Mario, but, like, in terms of, like, overall successes, rarely do they strike out on a new franchise. But in other things, like online, like their online gaming download service, the Virtual Console was fine. That one was fine. But, like, Nintendo Switch Online, that's not as good. And then the cloud saving, this idea of not being able to go to other players' islands and build on them, that just shows that, you know, they're still so limited in certain areas. And, like, there's people still wanting a trophy system. We still don't have, like, an achievement or a trophy system. I'm fine with it, too. It doesn't bother me, but I can understand the appeal for others who, like, you know, it's like that, you know, I accomplished something, you know, yay! You know, it's the little things. It's just the little things that can make a console even better. So, you know, it's just Nintendo is so behind at times, and yet they're so forward in others. It's just like, where's the middle ground, Nintendo? Find the middle ground. It's not that hard. This is the one time where I will allow you to try and copy the other companies. They do it to you. Copy them.
It's not even a thing of copying. It's just, it's convenience. It should be there. And the fact that you can't even get cloud saves on the Switch unless you have an online server subscription. I mean, at the very least, give people a limited amount of cloud saves, and then if they subscribe to Nintendo Switch Online, then they get more cloud saves. You're just hamstringing people for the sake of doing it. That's terrible.
I agree.
Yeah. We'll see. And again, most of this, I doubt the island thing will be fixed, but the blanked on it. Oh, the cloud saving. There you go. That might be fixed, but we'll see. We'll see.
You forgot the other tragedy for Animal Crossing.
What was that?
Well, if you were looking for the Animal Crossing console, it's sold out.
Which just goes to show how many. Like, well, that's the thing. Like, I've been saying, you know, as much as I don't like that Nintendo hasn't revealed a lot of their 2020 schedule, there's no doubt that Animal Crossing is going to sell millions. I mean, it's Animal Crossing. Didn't, like, New Leaf sell, like, 6 million or something like that?
New Leaf, yeah, it sold a lot. That was one of the best-selling 3DS games by far.
Yeah, and so imagine that on the Switch, which is now 52 million strong. So I'm not saying it's going to do Pokemon numbers, but I think it could do, like, Mario Party numbers, you know? Or Luigi's Mansion numbers. Splatoon numbers,
that.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Splatoon number is more in the ballpark, probably higher than that even.
So, we'll see. But yes, the very lovely Animal Crossing Switch version, the Switch version of it, whatever. You know what I mean? You know, it's sold out. Which, Keith, did you get yours?
I'm sorry?
Didn't you say you got yours?
Oh yeah, the second I saw it was available, I got it. I was like, I already have a Switch, but I'm getting it.
Why not? And hey, now you know that this one most likely won't have Joy-Con drift.
Hopefully.
It's like, Tyler, that still reminds me of when me and Will all got our Switches on night one. Like, right after that press conference, remember?
Yeah.
We were so happy, and then, like, the next day it was, like, all sold out. We were like, yeah!
I know, I got really lucky, because you guys got it, like, that instant, and I think I waited a couple of hours. Man, that would have been horrifying.
Yeah, but you got it. That's all that matters. Ah, good times. In fact, that was 3 years ago. That was a little over 3 years ago now.
That's all my Switches, and they still repaired it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Nintendo.
I mean, that's good for me to know, because I have an original Switch as well, and I would obviously want that to be fixed without, you know, paying hundreds and hundreds of dollars. But
I'm still wondering if they fix it under the Joy-Con drift. Is it, oh, it's drifting. Let's just fix it. Has me thinking.
No. All right, so for our main event, we are going to do something a little fun. Like, this was supposed to be a news story, like, as I'm sure you've all heard about it, especially if you've been looking at the Outer Haven. But Microsoft's Xbox boss, say that five times fast, made some interesting comments on Nintendo and Sony and the gaming world and the technology world around. And some people, me, have viewed it one way, and some people, Keith, have viewed it another. And I guess Tyler is going to be peacemaker this time around. See, there you go. We do need
to listen. This is a mistake. Don't sign me up to be the peacemaker. I am much better when I'm throwing punches.
I don't think we need a peacemaker. It's not
joking.
Well, then fine. Now we do need one. Damn it.
Fine. Language.
Okay, fine. I'll do
language. I am Captain America, and you'll watch your language.
But he said it like three times.
You said it once.
No.
Yes.
Need to
yes,
that up.
I would have called you out if you had used it earlier. Anyway, so we are going to debate whether, you know, our view is right or not. So it's time to sell it and smash. So, what exactly was said? Well, this came from Phil Spencer, head of Xbox, and he was talking about the potential competition between Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft. And he said, quote, "When you talk about Nintendo and Sony, we have a ton of respect for them, but we see Amazon and Google as the main competitors going forward. That's not to disrespect Nintendo and Sony, but the traditional game companies are somewhat out of position. I guess they could try to recreate Azure, but we've invested tens of billions of dollars in cloud over the years." End quote. Nintendo fanboy pride building must contain. So, okay, so I'm going to start this off because I unintentionally got this debate going with Keith. So, when I wrote this article, I read this quote as Microsoft/Xbox, which I know they're the same thing, but I'm saying it in a specific way. I saw this as them saying, oh yeah, these guys are gaming consoles, but we are so much more than that. Why are they our competition when we could be trying to rival something like Amazon or Google? And I don't even know why they're saying Amazon. Amazon's a store, also a rainforest, and a group of female warriors, but that's another story entirely. Anybody? Okay, fine, whatever.
Wonder Woman, I got it, yeah.
Just making sure. Anyway, so, you know, I can understand the Google thing, even though Stadia was a horrible failure. But, you know, they're saying, you know, hey, we're not trying to understand. He said, you know, that's not to disrespect Nintendo and Sony, but the traditional gaming companies are somewhat out of position. Really? Because they're still making games. They're still making consoles that sell millions. That PS4 just sold over 100 million. The Nintendo Switch just crossed 52 million, which means, Mr. Spencer, that in less than 3 years, it outsold your console that's been out since 2013. So you tell me how they're out of position. And then the line about, oh, but we've invested tens of billions of dollars in cloud over the years. Good for you. Might help your games. Your games still don't sell. All right. Oh, yeah, you got Call of Duty. That's multi-platform. Oh, you've got Crackdown 3. Ha, 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 ha. Gears of War. Yeah, that's fine. That sells. Halo. How many times have you milked that exactly? Wasn't that supposed to be a trilogy? You know, I wrote in the article that this is a curious thing for them to say because the Xbox is now last in the console generation. I include the Wii U, but the Switch is there too. All right, the 360 started out good, but as Keith noted in my article, was surpassed by the PS3. And compared to the Wii, it did not sell well at all. And they haven't been doing well in Japan at all.
They never and will.
Never will. But they I think they knew that. But still, you know, if they could reach the Japanese market, they would be doing better. That's undeniable. But, you know, they keep saying, like, how can you say that they're not our main competitors? They are the reason you're in the gaming business. And that's the truth. If it wasn't for Nintendo, there would be, more than likely, no gaming market in America. If it wasn't for
Sony, gaming started in America with the Atari. It wasn't for Atari to be no Nintendo.
Hold on. Stop. I said Mott Gaming now. Atari helped cause the crash of 1983. It was Nintendo that pulled us out of it.
There's more factors than that. But
I know the history. Keep, I had to write a paper on it. Never mind. Anyway, without Nintendo and Sony, there is no Xbox. That's undisputed. And yet you're saying that, oh, they're not our real competitors. Our competitors are Amazon and Google. How does that even make sense? Now, this could be this could be a thing about, you know, not using the correct wording, not using the correct phrasing. But right here, how it's spelled out to me in this quote that I directly copied from the source, this is him saying, you know, we don't care about Nintendo and Sony. We don't see them as competition because they're not on our level. Dude, you're not on theirs. You haven't been for a while. So you need to put up or shut up. All yours, Keith.
Fair enough. The problem is your thinking is narrow. And the problem with a lot of people who've been talking about this quote are only thinking of a console perspective. What he's talking about and what they've been talking about for a while since getting their butts kicked in this generation is they're looking at the future of gaming as a whole, evolution, the cloud, distribution system, getting the games out to everybody. An example is Xbox Game Pass. Not only can you play your games on your Xbox, you'll get access to them on your phone or your PC. They're targeting the cloud. They're targeting getting people access to their games without having them go out and buy a console. So, for example, you can play my games on your phone now, which is one of their big pushes to get back into Japan, because Japan's big on mobile gaming. They want to push their stuff to the phones. They want to push their stuff to the TVs. They want to push their stuff to the PCs. They want everybody who has access to gaming to get access to it without showing out new money for a new console. That's what they're trying to get to. When they're saying Sony and Nintendo aren't their main competitors, I think that was worded very wrong. Because as you can, when you talk about it, you're like, that doesn't make any sense. What he should have said, and what I'm interpreting this is, Google and Amazon are our competitors in this particular space. When you said, what does Amazon have? You know, what does Google have? Microsoft, Google, Amazon are the three big cloud distribution companies in the world. Microsoft owns the largest cloud infrastructure in the world with Azure, followed by AWS, Amazon, followed by Google Cloud. Google has a reach in everything, not gaming, because Stadia is failing, but Google Play on Android. Google has a video distribution, streaming. Amazon has that as well. Microsoft does not have that. They have the cloud. And Azure was not developed for gaming. It was developed to allow businesses to move their infrastructure to the cloud. They're transitioning a huge portion of that into their gaming, because I got to listen to that crap all the time when they talk about Azure when I'm at work, and it's annoying. There's where he's talking about. He's talking about reaching out to more people and getting out of the traditional plastic piece of, here's your console, here's your this, here's your that. And again, he said it wrong. He should have said it, you know, they are the competitors in this space right now, but we're looking to expand out of that system. And if he had said it like that, that would have made more sense. But instead, he made it seem like, oh, we don't care about these people, when clearly they're losing. And it goes two ways. If it wasn't for them getting their butts kicked, do you think they would have came up with Xbox Game Pass and pushed it as hard as they are now? Do you think they would have worked with other companies as much as they're working with them right now? I don't think they would have. It's just like Sony.
Yeah.
Sony's winning. Sony only got into the cross-play mindset because people kept saying, Sony, what the heck? Sony, what the heck? Come on, everybody's doing it. And now all of a sudden, Microsoft and Nintendo are buddy-buddy. Had Microsoft been at the forefront, they wouldn't have did that. Or they wouldn't have came around so easily. They are a corner animal when it comes to the gaming sector, and they're doing everything in their power to get out of that corner. And yeah, it sucks that Microsoft never does good in Japan. There's a reason for that. We've talked about it in the past. The Xbox does not appeal to the Japanese gamer. You know, they've made many attempts. It just doesn't work. So they're now looking at saying, okay, you guys like mobile gaming. You guys like playing games on a phone. We have a service where you can get full-blown games onto your phones. Oh, you don't have a phone? You have a laptop, but it can't run a game? Hey, that's all right. We got this service. You can play your game on your laptop streaming from the cloud. You don't have to buy anything. Oh, that doesn't work? Hey, we can stream it to your TV. There's where they're going, and that's what he should have said. He did not. Now everybody's blowing out of proportion because he is not a wordsmith. And that maybe that comes out a little arrogant as well. But I bet you if somebody asked him to clarify that, he's going to change the way he worded it.
He better. I mean, it came out, like I said, he came up extremely arrogant there. And I like your perspective. I really do. That's why I wanted to have this talk. But the way he worded it was just so poor.
I completely disagree.
Ouch.
I'm not the peacekeeper here. I'm actually further on Microsoft and Phil Spencer's side here than Keith is, I think. I didn't get arrogant from that at all. He's right. What he's saying is true. I mean, Amazon, Keith went into the technical elements far better than I could. But if you don't think Amazon is angling to get into the gaming world, I think you're crazy. I mean,
oh, they are. They've already said it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're getting involved in all of that stuff. And Microsoft does have the best cloud service out of every... But Nintendo's not... We just discussed... Nintendo can't get more than one... the same Animal Crossing Island to appear on multiple Switches. They are not in the same universe as Microsoft is when it comes to that technology.
Exactly. I mean, look at it. It's the reason why Sony is signed up to use Azure in the future.
Yes,
Sony exactly. is using Microsoft technology to get their stuff out there.
Exactly. And I think so. We talk about, they mentioned Google, we make fun of Stadia because it's been a failure.
Dumps of fire, be honest.
So far. But, you know, Google's, they're in a similar mindset of they have this ridiculous technological arsenal behind them. And again, especially, I mean, Sony, it's similar. Nintendo just is not, they're not in the universe. He didn't say anything wrong there. He wasn't saying, oh, Xbox is kicking Nintendo's butt. No, he wasn't saying that at all. He's saying we are looking at this from a totally different angle than they are, and we think that our vision is where things are going. The market will decide whether he's right. It seems like he could be. I mean, I think the smart money would say that he is. But yeah, no, I don't know. I didn't interpret that as arrogance at all. I didn't interpret that as saying, oh man, we are better than Nintendo and we are better than Sony. No.
I said that they're not even considering those competition.
Yeah.
Is arrogant.
How
they said they're saying that they're not the main competition. That's arrogant because it's saying that means that nothing that Nintendo or Sony can do influence Microsoft. When we know that's a lie. And like Keith just said, you know, Sony gets affected by what Sony and Microsoft does. The reason that the connected the mover created because of the Wii, when everyone said there's no way motion controls are going to be the thing, then everyone's trying to do motion controls. They're saying that they're not competition, and yet they copy them all the time.
You know who else has said that Sony and Microsoft are not their competition? Nintendo, because they say we're competing with Netflix for your spare time. It's their perspective. They're not saying that they're not our competition because we are above them. They're saying they're not their competition because they're looking at they're looking at the gaming space from a different angle than Nintendo is. That's what he's saying.
That makes sense too.
But if he said it like that, I wouldn't be bashing him as much. And you can understand why Nintendo says it, because in the way that they said it, it's true. They can't compete with Microsoft and Sony because that's what they're not trying to do. Ever since the Wii, they've made it clear we can't compete on the graphical level for one reason or another. We've even talked about this on the show before. And they're going for the gameplay. They're focusing on making the best games possible, time delays be danged. And they've succeeded.
How is that any different than what Microsoft is saying?
Because they're not saying that they're not competition. They're saying that they know their limits. They know what they're going to do. And they're trying to make sure that when the gamer comes to them, that they're going to get the best experience possible. Microsoft is saying that we're not going to consider – we can't consider them competition because they don't have this one piece of technology like us. We have this one thing over them. They don't have the cloud game. We have spent tens of billions of dollars. I hate that line. We spent tens of billions of dollars.
But it's true. Know?
And I'm not saying it's not true.
Right.
But if you spend tens of billions of dollars on one thing, and that one thing doesn't make you better in a significant way that actually makes you money, then what's the freaking point?
Well, here's
you can
the
have
thing.
Cloud, you can have cloud gaming all you want, but if you don't have the games that utilize it to its best, and if you don't have the games that are getting sold, and you don't have a console that's selling worldwide, not just in one region in good, decent enough sales, then you are failing.
But that's
because
the thing.
Are focused on one thing instead of being like Sony and Nintendo, focusing on multiple things to make things better. And yes, as we just noted, Nintendo still fails. They still have a terrible internet and made things. They still fail in this cloud saving bit. They fail with the island situation in Animal Crossing. And Sony fails with crossplay because it took them forever to figure it out. But they still have the majority of things figured out, where it looks like Xbox is saying, this is the future. We're focusing on this. Everything else be dang.
But that's but what you said is not completely correct. You stated that it's okay. You said it's not making them money, right? They're not making them money.
It's going to make them money. That's undeniable. It's going to make them money because
it is making them money because they're using Azure for Game Pass, and Game Pass is making them money.
It's making them a lot of money.
It is.
So it is making them money, and you got to remember what you just stated. You're leaving out a lot of factors. Sony is successful in Japan. Nintendo successful in Japan. Microsoft is successful everywhere else but Japan.
And
they are missing
the piece. You say that, and yet in 3 years, the Switch completely killed them.
The Switch is a completely different system. It's like a phone. You can't compare the two. Then that's
fine,
the thing.
Fine. Sony's got double their numbers then.
Say again?
Sony's got well over double their numbers.
Sony is doing better than everybody in the gaming space. It makes sense. They have the games that you want. It makes sense. It goes hand in hand.
You're living in the present right now. You're looking at this exact instant. He's talking about the future.
I'm living in the present. Well, no, duh!
He's talking about the future of gaming. He's saying we're doing something totally different than Nintendo and Sony are. That's why he's saying they're not their competition. He's not saying they're not their competition because Xbox is doing better than them now. He's saying we're doing something very different than what they're doing. And it's what the same thing Nintendo said when they say that they're not that... that Sony and Microsoft aren't their competition. They're saying we view gaming the way our priority is making sure that we get people's free time, whereas Microsoft is saying our priority is making sure that we have the technology to give people gaming whenever they want. They have two different visions, and that's why they say they aren't competing. Now, they are. Like, I think we all agree that, yes, like, they're the Xbox and Nintendo and Sony, they can all say, oh, yeah, we're not rivals, but they certainly, at least right now, are, and they have different visions for the future. But he's not talking about when he says they're not a competition, he's talking about vision. He's not talking about, oh, we're not trying to outsell them. I'm sure he would like to sell more than Nintendo, but he's saying
sure
we're trying
will.
To occupy a different space.
And you also got to look at this in another perspective, Todd, and like what Tyler was saying. Okay, say Sony and Nintendo want to move their stuff to the cloud. They want to do what Microsoft is doing. They want to change their little vision and change this. You know what? We need to incorporate our cloud, this into cloud service a little more. We need to reach out to more people. Doing it just on a console isn't helping. We want to branch out to more people. Who are they going to go to? Invest
exactly,
money
yeah.
to make their own infrastructure?
Maybe.
You know how long it's going to take?
I don't know.
Long time.
I'm sure it will.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Nintendo, as we said, they haven't invested in that, and that's what Phil Spencer is saying. Microsoft has them, which they have. They are miles ahead of Nintendo and Sony in that department.
And I'm not going to say that you know everything that he's saying is correct or is right, because that is his job. As much as I love the guy for being honest and saying what he's saying, and for turning the Xbox platform around, because the previous management let that thing crash and burn. There's no way in hell, and I said another word, sorry, that the Xbox 360 should have lost its momentum going into the next generation. There's no way that the management should have let the Xbox One launch the way it did and flounder the way it did. It was pretty much dead at the starting line.
Yep.
But they didn't care. Oh, you don't want this? Then get an Xbox 360. You do not tell people who want to invest in your future to buy an older generation console. What are you talking about? You do not tell people, oh, hey, you can only play this game online. It's always online. You cannot tell these people these things. It wasn't until they started backpedaling on all their silly decisions and got rid of their management and brought in fresh people for a fresh perspective, that the brand started doing better. So they're trying to align everything they can for when the next generation of consoles comes out and beyond. And honestly, this could fail. It totally can fail.
Yep.
They're doing something that has not been done. It's just a play of words and in the end putting your money where your mouth is. It really depends. Plus, you got to keep in mind, and I don't want to keep talking about it because it's going into a different conversation. And I know how this goes on another podcast that we do. The Microsoft of old is gone. The Xbox of old is gone. They've been gone for the last 2.5 years. This is a new team. They actually have first-party companies to work with them other than their skeleton crew. Yeah, they had to buy companies. I'm not happy about that, but
yep,
they did it. And Sony did it too, so I whatever.
Well, Sony less than Microsoft. Sony's had a big team for a while now.
Right. But now Microsoft's like, you know what? We need these people.
Yep.
And they're working with more Japanese developers now.
Yeah.
They're trying to do their outreach now. So we could see a completely different side of things. We're not dealing with the Don Matrix silliness anymore. And Xbox might be something people want in the future. It all depends. The biggest pain point for them, again, is the games and Japan and their perspective. Or how people perceive them. That is it. They got to get around that. But I do think from everything that I'm seeing and everything that I researched, and I played with Project X Cloud, they have a promising future if they keep at it. Plus, giving their games out to multiple platforms is really a smart idea. They're not going to win with hardware. They know this. They know they're not going to win with hardware. They're going to win with software, and they're going to win with getting that software out to as many people as they can and outreach. I love the fact that I can take my phone, go outside, play Forza Horizon or Destiny 2 or Halo on my front step or in my car or in my backyard. That's awesome. I can't do that with any other console right now. I can do it with the Switch, yeah, but I can't play those games on the Switch.
Yeah.
It's the future. It's just a play of words and how they're saying and how people perceive what he says.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it was arrogant or inaccurate.
I mean, maybe it wasn't as bad as maybe I interpreted it at first because I was just reading it and thinking, you know, one thing, and you guys are right that they are trying to expand. Microsoft honestly has been making moves, but it's just the way he said, they're not our main competition. There is no way on God's green earth that's not true.
But when it comes to the cloud, they aren't.
But he didn't say that. He just said, when it comes to gaming, Sony and Nintendo aren't our main competition. That makes no sense. If he specifically said, we are trying to focus more on the cloud, we are trying to do more with the cloud to better our own console, and in that regard, Sony and Nintendo can't compete, I would have been totally fine with that because that would have been a true statement. Nintendo especially can't compete, and Sony is very much behind because of where Microsoft is, because Microsoft's a computer company. All right, it started off with a PC, and then they made a console. So, you know, that's different. But he didn't say it like that. He said it in the way of, you know, this is about gaming, and yet Sony and Nintendo are really ahead of Microsoft on the whole. Not in regards to cloud gaming, but on the whole, they're better. In one way or the other, they are better, and they sell more, with the exception of Wii U and everything. So it frustrates me that he would phrase like this. Now, again, it might have been because of the heat of the interview. I obviously didn't see the full interview and what all he was talking about. But because of how this question, I guess, was framed, he decided, I'm going to say it like this and then say the whole, oh, we've invested tens of billions of dollars. And I'm like, that's great. You know, Nintendo spent tens of millions and billions of dollars on actually making a console that people want.
I mean, I could totally twist this right now and be like, you know what? Microsoft is totally right because they sell Windows, and Windows powers gaming PCs, and PC is more profitable than console gaming.
That's true.
I could totally twist that. Like, prove me wrong.
Right.
No, I get it. And PC gaming, as we noted earlier, is like the neutral, quote-unquote, party, and a lot of people love PC gaming, and that's totally fine. And that's why, you know, certain like things like on consoles are better than PC because you don't need to have a super high-end PC to to do games better with, and that's fine. But then on the other hand, you know, when you want the best visuals, the best responses, the best online play, you usually go to a PC, and that's fine. And Microsoft,
I go to Stadia.
Don't you even? That's not you. Don't you joke about that?
Stadia's
don't you
the
even
best.
Look at it?
I'm so glad Stadia. I sent that back.
What a dumpster fire.
You know what's funny?
Stadia.
Well, you know, GeForce Now, $5 a month. And it blows Stadia out of the water. It's like, jeez, you guys are dead. This is dead. So bad.
Like, stop beating it. He's dead already. Isn't that how the Simpsons quote goes?
Yep.
Something like that.
I feel bad for them. But then again, I don't. I feel bad, but I don't. So, yep.
I mean, we can always say we admire the attempt. You know, hey, Google wants to get in on
There was
know,
no
gaming.
Attempt.
Sure, why not? But then it was like, it's going to be a streaming-only thing. That's never going to work. Like
It would have worked. GeForce Now, okay, no. That will, okay, so the model, the game model was wrong. How people can get access to the game was completely wrong.
Yeah.
They launched without several features they promised were supposed to be out there. They launched with one exclusive game. One. And it was terrible.
Yep.
Are you?
And then the other games were like 5 years old.
Hey, you can get the same game on Stadia as you can get on your PC or Xbox or Switch or PlayStation 4. Why do I want it?
Yeah. But yeah, that's your main competition, Microsoft. You're winning! Congrats!
Oh, Stadia, that's so jeez.
I still am horrified by the commercial of Stadia from the Game Awards. I mean, I can't even tell you. It was just like, I'm watching this, and I could feel my brain rotting, and I haven't had that happen since MTV.
I cringe every time I see a Stadia ad on our website, and I go, oh, God. Can you please take that off?
It's like, play Stadia. How about new?
Maybe we should lean into Stadia a little bit more then.
No.
Oh, my phone's saying no battery. Too bad. Poor Stadia.
How about this? How about we put Stadia in Pokemon Stadium and watch it burn? Charizard! Flamethrower burns Stadia to the ground. That's entertainment.
It's already a dumpster fire. It doesn't need to be burnt to the ground. It's already on fire.
No. It's already smoldering. The flames have just melted it to nothing. It's just there smoldering.
It is a raging inferno. Their fan base has been slowly dropping. People are heated.
Got to burn, baby.
Even
burn.
The people that were supporting it are like, no, this is bad. Yeah. This is not happening. Why are you guys doing this? So sad.
So yeah, Microsoft's arrogant. I win. Moving on. I kid.
Is it the last topic?
Yeah, we're done. Okay. That's it. See? So with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yes, last week we asked you if you were interested in buying more Wii U ports headed to Switch, and 67% of you said yes, and 33% of you said no.
Interesting. And this is also a perfect tie-in because our fellow writer on the Outer Haven, Carl, has written what he believes are the 10 games that should be ported to the Switch from the Wii U.
You know what? I did not read that. I'm going to read that right now.
Yeah, you need to go read that. He has some interesting picks. I don't agree with all of them, but he has some interesting picks.
Mm.
Also, I think he missed that one of them actually has been ported to the Switch. I'd have to recheck the list, though. So, we'll see. So, what do we say? Do we want to do one about a poll about the Microsoft comments? Do you really think
I don't think there's any pullable question this week. We should,
no.
And
I think that would be perceived incorrectly, as I've seen on Twitter and Reddit and certain internet forums, which will be unnamed.
That's fine. We'll wait for next week. And of course, next week, hopefully, barring something weird happening, our dear Wario will be back with us, and then we can endure him again, because we kind of missed him, sort of, possibly. Really?
Yeah, we missed him.
We missed him.
You know you're going to hurt his feeling to hear you say that, right? He's going to be so mad at you.
Well, we raised him to death on his first absence day, so it's only fair that we balance it out. We're like Thanos. We have perfect balance.
And you're correct. Yeah, Captain Toad got a Switch port.
I knew it! I was like, I knew, because that came out last year, I believe.
No, Captain Toad, I think it came out
He wrote
actually...
it on there. He was like, wait, it's already on the Switch? Too late, take it off. Oh, well, still including it. So he knew
it's called
he did
edit.
It. I think he should do a Wii game to do a Switch port, because I want Matt World.
No,
please.
That's too far.
I need Matt World. Come on.
Okay, Mad World maybe, or Galaxy is the big one.
Yeah.
I would love what they did with Bayonetta, but do it with Fire Emblem Path of Radiance and Radiant Dawn. Just make it a two in one special. That would sell like crazy. Same. Anyway, so we'll be back next week at full power, hopefully, and we'll get to raise Tyler for his incorrect pick of a Nintendo Direct again.
Listen, it's gonna happen this time.
Sure it will, Tyler. Sure it will. I have faith in you.
Listen, I've never been wrong except for the last 3 weeks when I said there was gonna be a Nintendo Direct.
Well, we shall see. We will see. And of course, we want to thank Koopa Keith for joining us once again. You are always welcome on the podcast, even when you're wrong.
That doesn't bother me. I'm married.
Oh, no.
I'm told I'm wrong all the time.
You're honestly not wrong all the time. Just some of the time. No. But we enjoyed having you back on. And honestly, ironically, it was because of this topic that we even invited him back on. So thank you, Phil Spencer, for making a controversial topic that we got to bring Keith back on for. So yay, Microsoft!
Microsoft.
All right, so we'll see you all next week. So for Atelius Tyler and Koopa Keith, I am Triforce Tyler. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We have made it to the end of the level. So raise the flag.